It was that same night, the night at the end of spring full of wind and rain, the night when they helped Harry with a school project, and they had dinner and saw a movie, and then Harry went to bed while they stayed up talking in the living room, as they always did, sharing conversation and chocolate-covered berries. They were actually pretty good, sweet and tart. The rain picked up, and there was some thunder and lightning bolts, and between one bolt and the deafening thunder that followed it, the lights of the house blacked out. They fumbled a bit, rising from their chairs and looking for discarded wands to Lumos and for the candles that slept somewhere in a kitchen drawer, and instead, of course, they found each other, bumping in the dark and arms rising and holding so they wouldn't fall, and then not taking the arms back, and then staying like that, standing in each other's space in the dark, shrouded by the sound of the rain outside. And then, closeness. The warmth of skin, breathing in the same air. A kiss.
Dad! What happened to the lights?
Remember, you love Harry with every cell of your being. Was that a smile on Severus's lips?
That was a blackout!
Remus screamed back.
And you should be asleep!
I was reading!
Go to sleep, it's almost midnight!
Severus mumbled that it wasn't even 11:30. The moment was gone. Severus found his wand and got it to Lumos non-verbally, for a show-off, and Remus got the candles and his own wand. It was late anyway. They didn't need much light, and they should just go to bed, but Remus wanted to make sure the fridge would stay cold until the morning, or whenever the light came back, so they spent at least 20 minutes fixing that. They debated whether to use Glacio, which might be a bit extreme and damage the appliance, or Refrigero, which in turn they thought was too weak. They ended up casting Prefrigifacio, which was seldom used and rarely taught, but Severus thought it was the most adequate since apothecaries employed it for the most delicate ingredients. It should work well enough with the eggs and the milk. Remus had a candle with him, a common, plain candle store-bought. He would now say goodnight and climb up to his bedroom, and Severus would engorgio the couch and get whatever he needed from the corner closet that had become his. They would say nothing else, and in the morning everything would be the same. If it had stopped raining, they would go outside for a walk with Harry, and if not, they would stay home and read and cook, and maybe Severus would brew something, and Remus would write down some notes for his latest article, and it would be nice and peaceful as it always was. It would be safe, known, reliable, customary, and undisturbed. Remus was a Gryffindor. It was up to him to be brave. Severus. Severus turned around to look at him. He hesitated before meeting Remus's eyes. Remus blew the candle out. There was only darkness and the storm. Remus came with little knowledge of amatorial arts. It hadn't been easy to ask when mere tolerance of his presence was already a gift. When friendship had been a feast, he still couldn't believe he got. He didn't dare ask for more when he already had so much. And he understood that friendship was one thing, but loving a werewolf was another thing completely different and too much to ask of anyone. Then there had been the war, and so many more important things to do that he got lost in them. There had been an encounter with Gideon Pruitt, though rushed and born from the excitement of having fooled death once again. Not particularly good, but good enough and sweet afterwards in the shared embrace. Gideon had been killed a week and a half later, and his brother Fabian, too. Afterwards, it was just easier to think only of winning the war. And now he was here. Severus knew what he was doing. There was no doubt about that. And yet there was a certain hesitance about him. No, not hesitance. Second-guessing. He would kiss Remus with ardor, push him against the wall, and put a hand down his trousers, only to suddenly doubt himself, and take the hand back and spend the next 10 minutes kissing his mouth, his cheek, his neck, with his hands well above his hips and over his clothes. No complaints with that. Kissing was very nice. Kissing Severus was nice, even though he was made of sharp lines and narrow angles. There was this hint of restrained hunger that was most alluring, but Remus would appreciate some sort of clarification on the route ahead, is all. All right, well, that worked, too. Severus walking him to the sofa, turned bed in the middle of the room and pushing him down and demonstrating exactly how you can drive someone mad with just your mouth. Before even getting properly undressed. That was a good route. Remus remembered to grab his wand and cast Muffliato. That was his last clear thought. After that, there was only the feeling of the darkness and the rain outside, and Remus let himself fall into their warm nest, and the quiet, gentle meeting of bodies. And then afterwards, it wasn't so quiet. Thank all the gods for silencing charms, and it was gentle, yes. But there was also some biting on the chest, and Severus scratched him on the back as Remus pushed in. Severus's legs tightly clamped onto his sides, and Remus's hands buried in Severus's hair, which was surprisingly soft and smelled like cranberries.